Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and you sitting right next to me listening. We were just talking about our exes, like, you know, the girls who, like, or guys or other, who, like, they were in our life and then they weren't, and then maybe they came back. And Metzger, I have one girl in particular who kept coming back, and you were there for, like, most of it, if not all of it, and I was not good, because I always said, yeah, this is, like, the 10th time you come back. Sure, yeah, let's do it again. Because I was so enamored. I thought she's the best thing in the world. And every time, like, I'd be like, no, Eric. And then I slap my cheeks like I'm about to go into a boxing ring. I'm like, can't do it. Can't let her get you again. And the second I see her pretty blue eyes and curly hair, I'm just like.
And then remember how awesome her mom is because she makes, like, organic goat milk soap.
Okay, don't even get me started about the goat milk soap. I thought about messaging her mom on Facebook and being like, hey, I realize that me and her aren't a thing anymore and haven't been for a long time. She recently got married. That's fine. I don't care. I have no eggs in that basket anymore. I don't even live anywhere near her. But I would pay the shipping and handling costs if you could send me, like, what can only be described as a wholesale amount of goat milk soap. But I couldn't figure out how to, like, say that good, so I just haven't done that yet. Metzger, have
I
you
mean,
ever...
I would just tell her, hey, this is gonna sound weird, but I live in like, a different part of the world now, and I would really like to have access to this soap, so can I purchase a wholesale batch of soap for whatever you're charging to ship it?
I went north towards Canada, and in some of the northern states, as you're driving along, they have the, like, welcome to our state. Here's, like, a weird building that has a Burger King and, like, a gift shop and things like that. And in that gift shop, I found, like, goat milk soap. And I have been kind of riding the high on the 3 sandalwood bars of soap that I got from it for, like, a while now. And honestly, I'm on the last bar right now. And I think once I lose that, I can't go back. Like, Metzger, have you ever, gone back to an ex? Have you ever, like, double dipped?
Oh.
No?
No. The most I'll do is I'll talk to someone again, but never romantically ever again. Like, if we didn't work the first time, we're not working a second time.
Listener,
and you're probably not good enough for me.
The listener was just telling me about the guy / girl / they that did or didn't do the thing to them physically or emotionally or intellectually, and how that made them go back or not. And then all their hot takes about, you know, whether you should or shouldn't go back and give someone a second chance, or, you know, you fuck up once, you're done. Three strikes you out. Five cricket rules if you knock down all my pins. I don't know. But the listener was just telling me all their thoughts. It's weird trying to, like, rebuild a relationship and try to let someone back into your life, you know, with some level of baggage, even in, like, a friendship kind of way.
Yeah, I do have to say I've struggled with that one, letting someone in and setting the boundary of, okay, but we are friends. And then they go, okay, yeah, but fuck?
I've struggled with that too, because, like, even still, like, I struggle because, like, I've had intimate moments with this person, and, like, you know, I still find them to this day, like, deeply attractive. And, like, I don't know that, like, emotionally that's good for me to be like, hey, we can be friends and talk and all this, but also my cheeks get red when talking to you. Like, it's not, I don't think that puts me in kind of a good space. And obviously means that, you know, their interests and mine aren't aligned, and it's not like real genuine of a relationship or friendship. So that's always been kind of my struggle, is how do you go back and change the paradigm that naturally formed?
So I'm gonna say something that's gonna sound kind of dumb, maybe,
Yeah, go ahead.
but I think I've experienced enough in life to understand that relationships are kind of like tides. They come in and out.
I thought you were thinking Tide Pods, and my immediate thought was, you eat relationships? And
No, they are ever changing, and people come in, and sometimes people go out, and sometimes they come back in again, and sometimes they go back out, just like the tide.
yeah, I mean, like, and then you have that like little area that, you know, is kind of deep right by the shore that, you know, is always going to have at least some level of water in it, like, you know, kind of those steady friends and things that maintain throughout. Honestly, if my Facebook like friends gets any less, I'm going to probably just like stop posting. Like, I just don't, I if anything, I cheer
Eric has
people on.
more connections on LinkedIn than Facebook.
Do I?
I don't know. I was just
Oh,
making a
that
joke.
doesn't sound like me. No, I just like, if anything, like, I want less friends all around on social media, and I want more friends like in real life. And that's kind of been the thing for me. Metzger, it's weird when people come back into your life, and that's kind of a premise for one of our anime today.
And I hope that we don't talk about that one first.
Well, we're not going to talk about that one first. What we're going to talk about is when people kick us out of their life. Hey, Metzger, the listener by now should know that this is, of course, an anime podcast where you act as our expert, our shamisen. No, I
Even
always say it
always,
wrong.
always, you mean sommelier?
Oh, sommelier of anime. And I myself am the non-expert, the person who's kind of still introducing himself to this style of media.
Oh yeah, Eric is here to party. It's pretty much like you grab the anime and you just throw it down his throat and he has no idea what's going on, but he's here to party.
I am the golden retriever of friends. Like, I will just sit there as you show me anime, or I don't know, we can play Black Ops, or you can try to throw your dead mother on me. Whatever it is, I will wag my tail and just sit here, happy to be here. Metzger, let's start with our Angry Orchard of anime. Ooh, that's really good. And that.
Are you sick of it yet? Are you sick of this anime?
Absolutely, I am. I do like that they resolved the tension of the previous episode by doing the thing no other form of media has the dare, has the gall to do, which is they sit down together and they actually talk. Hey, here's what I saw. And then him going, oh, you only saw part of it. Here's what actually was occurring. She was trying to buy me from her, and I smacked her away from me. Like, just very, very clean, very honest conversation. And I liked it a lot. And it drew them closer by the end.
Yeah, it really did. So they repair their relationship. Anne wants to go visit the Royal Library, right? Or some sort of cathedral or something. It's a church, but they have these sacred texts. And the priest is like, yeah, we have those books, but you can't read them because they're in an old tongue. But thank God, Shal is 800 years old and knows how to read.
Metzger, when was the last time you got chicken fingers?
Dude, I don't want to talk about it.
When'd you last have chicken fingies?
We were supposed to have some for dinner tonight, but
Did you?
when the restaurant left us sitting at the table for over 10 minutes before anyone came to take our drink, I got up and walked out. And then the hostess, the lady that had just sat us 10 minutes ago, knows there's no way that we could have possibly have gone out to eat in 10 minutes, goes, thanks, have a good night, as her and the rest of the wait staff are all sitting there. Like, they're standing in a circle talking. No one has come to take our drink or our order or anything. How do I know it was 10 minutes? Because when we walked in, the beginning of the song, You Can Call Me Al, had just started by Paul Simon.
Free Bird. Like, you finally got through that guitar solo. And you're like, God, we've been sitting here for a whole Free Bird.
Well, close. Because You Can Call Me Al is about 5 minutes. And then after that, it played Paint It Black.
Classic.
And at the end of Paint It Black, I was like, wait, we've been here for two entire classic rock songs.
Jeez. I when I got back from judo, I had like the remainder of the chicken that I had in the fridge, and then a protein. Again, making great progress on my diet. However, when I was watching Sugar Apple Fairy Tale, they call Anne to the warehouse, and
Okay. We were talking about Shal being able to read. That happens way before then. And he completely debunks the entire religion. I was sitting there watching that thinking, holy fuck, Eric is gonna love that this fairy can actually debunk the entire religion.
First off, love that. Love is his kind of hot takes that he had about it. It's super fun and completely denies the fact that, like, we've been talking about the blatant sexism within this that's been hidden under the, well, not really hidden, blatantly shoved in our faces, along with the Anglo-Saxon version of God, the vaguely Christian version. Not vaguely, it's openly Christian. It's pretty great that he's like, oh yeah, like, I mean, these two kings were like, hey, we should, like, live peacefully together and stuff like that. And, like, the people just suck. And I thought that was pretty great. No, Metzger, I mean, that part was great when I was watching it. But what got me more was later on in the show, her and Shal have you know, made up and had their thing, and they're like, hey, you know,
still skipping that she finally made her peace. She was inspired, and this peace that she made is beautiful, and it's the combination of the royal family's symbol, the climbing rose, and a fairy wing, to where it's getting down to the heart and symbolizing what the two kings actually stood for, which was unionization and peace. And they are left in awe of her peace, which is why then, what's his name, Sammy, comes up with a little scheme. And he enlists Jonas's help.
And can you tell me about this scheme? Just kind of give me, like, the rough overview.
Oh, yeah, he's going to ruin Anne's hands.
Matt's here, then we're going to turn her hands into chicken fingies. And the whole time I was watching this, being like, this is a very real problem. This could scar her and, like, permanently injure her from life.
But damn, I'm hungry.
I literally was like, there's a place right next to me. You know how it is. Like, it's a pizza place, but, like, their chicken is actually what they're good for. Like, not the pizza itself. Honestly, pizza's kind of mid. But I mean, the chicken, I was just watching it, paused, placed my order online. Then
you are a monster. You are a literal monster.
I was hunky.
You're a literal monster being like, this 15-year-old girl's finger is deep fried and covered in molten sugar. Sounds good. Can I get, can I get a 6-piece?
Honestly, if they didn't close at 10 o'clock, that right there would have, like, sold me. Just you describing it like that. 15-year-old girl's fingers covered in molten sugar. Don't get me another. Damn, Metzger, that's fucked up. Can't believe you said that.
I'm fucked up, says the man who's salivating.
I'm not right now, but I was at the moment. It could be because I hadn't eaten anything that day, like, and it was kind of getting like 2-3 o'clock, and it was kind of
grating on me. Shit, guys.
Listen. When you're hungry, you don't get it. Caloric deficit, Eric. He's a problem. Regardless, Mesker, that was obviously like the whole thing was like a big traumatic. Shao comes in.
Shao rushes in and threatens to kill them. And he's gonna do it.
He came in with that kind of like real anime intensity of him running with the sword kind of behind him and a look in his eye that says, y'all gonna die.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just a look in his eye. He's audibly telling them, I will kill you.
Which I get it, though. They like straight up a group of there's no way to describe this good. Like a group of full grown men tried to sear off the hands
of a 15-year-old girl. Well, she's 16 now. It has been like a whole year.
OK, that's somehow better. It almost sounds worse than 15. And I don't know why. A 16-year-old girl that makes really pretty things. They're all just like, we'll dip her hand in molten. All right. It's almost like they were hungry for chicken fingies.
You think that's what the problem was?
Yeah. This had nothing to do with like blatant sexism or like, you know, problematic worldviews. This was just like a bunch of dudes that
this was just like a Snickers commercial.
Hear me out. I don't see much protein being eaten in this world. I think they all just need some protein. There's a lot of like sugar confections and stuff like that. But like
everyone in this world is type 2 diabetic.
There's just no protein in their diet. So the second that they get the opportunity, well, what are they going to do? They're not going to like boil their hands. They're just going to dip it in the apple sugar that's molten. It's already there. So like, yeah, no, and obviously, like, she stops Shao because this isn't that kind of anime yet.
And then she starts crying, and he's, like, holding her and being like, it's okay, I'm here. And then they run off, and they're rat bastards.
They did a trick around.
They went and blamed it all on Jonas. And for the first time ever, I feel bad for them. No, I don't. I don't feel bad for
him. He tried to kill her. I always have to remind myself of that.
Yeah, when Jonas is being like, I hate you. And it's like, fuck you. Fuck, hey, who? Bitch, what's your problem?
Yeah, you're the one straight that's up tried to kill her.
Like, you've misstepped every opportunity, Jonas.
He did what can only be described as biological warfare as he set a bunch of wolves at her.
That's my favorite biological weapon. Wolves.
Just a bunch of wolves. We were actually discussing, me and like some guy friends that I play games with, we were discussing if you could conceal carry any weapon, regardless of its legality or practicality, what would it be? And one of theirs were like, just a bunch of badgers.
I was gonna say boar or bear.
Bear or boar. Probably be a bear person, but I know that you're coming at me with boar energy. One of my buddies said C4 with a short fuse, and he goes, if hey, you're gonna cause a problem, take us both down.
I am the short fuse, so
as you ride your boar into combat. you would with like a spear really like, in hand.
I like to think that I've got like a pike or some sort of pole arm and I'm riding a boar and I get stopped because the boar's fine because it's concealed somehow. Like I'm riding it, but it's concealed. But
it's the lance that you were carrying that like that the police pulled you over for.
Yeah, uh-huh.
As you're, I don't know, maybe riding the boar on the side of the road. It is my legal right. The police are like, we need to see your ID. You're like, it is my legal right to ride this boar.
Yeah. I'm just like, what do you need to see my ID for? Have I committed a crime? And they're like, could you please just like, am I being detained?
You on TikTok live riding your boar with a javelin in hand? I don't accept questions from the police. Name a badge number, please.
Your superior officer is my pig, and I point down at the boar. You report to Mr. Boar.
And anyways, that's how Metzger got a weird arrest. So
no,
hey,
they meant, as long as the crime was committed by the boar, I'm untouchable.
Everyone knows that. Like,
based off your premise of like that being my like
concealed carry, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like it's boar defense, dude. You provoked a wild animal that I so happen to have a concealed carry license for. It's not a crime. It's an act
of nature.
Everybody
gets one. Everyone gets one.
It's an act of nature.
Yeah.
People are trying to take my boar down with handguns as if that's going to fucking work.
Yeah. It was a special spear back in the day, and it took a few of them.
You better get it right between the eyes.
Yeah, you're supposed to catch it on the collarbone. Hey,
this took a turn.
Yeah, for sure it did. Metzger, they blame it on Jonas. This reminds me.
At this point, I believe the boar is my spirit animal.
I think if you were to have like a Harry Potter-esque Patronus and stuff like that, like somehow you would use the Patronus to like troll people. Like, you would, somebody's like, mine's an otter, mine's a cat. You're just like, mine's a boar, get fucked! And then you have your boar, like, charge into their otter and stuff like that.
I'm just thinking that it, like, starts foraging and it just starts eating fucking everyone else's Patronus.
I saw this video of a boar that, like, you know, just calmly walks up to a group of people. And it's kind of, like, waddling in that way that, like, maybe a dog does. Just kind of in a friendly way and stuff.
Oh,
and gets,
yeah.
Like, 2 feet from them. And then just goes... And then charges at them, like, 2 feet away. And then just starts, like... And they're all like, run! Oh, my God, pick up the baby! For some reason, somebody has, like, a 2-year-old near it. No, so, obviously, Jonas gets blamed everything on. And she's like, no, this is what happened. And then we have our little fairy boy, Mithril Lidpod, who's just like, hey, this is what happened. And then Shal, who's also like, yes, I was there. I witnessed exactly this happen. I'm the reason, like, saved and everything like that. And initially, the head dude was like, hey, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I'm tired of him. This is nonsense. I'm on your side and all that. And then he's like, you come after my favored boy.
Yeah. Why would he tell on himself?
And that was actually going to be the original intro that I had, which was like to make kind of an Among Us joke and be like, oh, he's self-reported. Isn't that dumb? And stuff like that. And be like, that's a basic strat and stuff. But I honestly much more preferred our people coming into and out of our lives. She gets kicked out of the school. Gets to keep a couple of the sugar barrel boys.
I do think that for once, this is like Anne's kind of come up on top.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's being kicked out, but she gets to take her creation and she gets to take 3 barrels of sugar. What do you think, like, Sammy pushes her or something and it breaks her creation and Shal goes nuts and kills him?
I feel like Shal has to kill him because he's sworn to it. This is a Hogzilla that Metzger sent me. It took a huge gun to bring it down. This thing can only be described as, I would say, kind of the size of a rhino. That's the closest. And they picked it up and, like, it's rhino sized, guys. And like I like to think with my karate powers that I can take on most things. You know, kind of a juke, a knife hand, a Mr. Miyagi pacha, right? This is big enough that I begin to question if I could take it out with the old
thing,
one too.
This thing, like you see the picture of it laying on its belly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's the size of my Honda Fit.
That's huge.
Does it not? Does it not kind of look like a mid-sized compact car?
I don't know that that could fit into kind of the, as we would say, kind of the normal parking spots.
I think that's bigger than your old Yaris.
My Yaris was actually surprisingly small because it was like elephant shaped, but like a small elephant. Like,
I'm just saying that's the biggest damn pig I've ever seen.
That makes some nice bacon. So all that being said, she gets kicked out. And honestly, I think like she has the barrels. She could like compete in the tournament. She's got her piece, all that. Like, obviously there's going to be something she might have to remake the piece. I hope she doesn't, because like it's a pretty piece and it makes like a political statement that I think is a good one. Like, I hope she doesn't have to remake it. But I mean, honestly, it's very kind of lighthearted of an anime, but it's beginning to feel like, what was it? The parallel world pharmacy. Like, it's beginning to kind of hit that same kind of note for me. Not as much like obviously the liberal porn as that.
No, it's not as power fantasy, but like everything's going to turn out okay for this girl.
Absolutely.
Like she cries a lot. And she has to deal with a lot of sorrow and shit. But for the most part, she's going to be okay. Now, I really thought that this anime was just going to be the whole first volume of the manga. Like, I thought more was going to happen, like, just getting to the first competition. And I thought maybe it was going to be, like, one of those kind of, like, fighting tournament-style animes to where, like, they were going to have rounds and people had to have like bake-offs. I thought it was going to be the British bake-off of sugar confections.
Which sounds fun.
Yeah, so that's what I thought, especially when you see the intro and you see all those pretty boys lined up. I'm like, oh yeah, she's going to beat all those pretty boys at sugar making. And it's not been that at all. it's not been that even close.
No, and I mean it's fine. It's just like it started as like a light, soft-hearted thing has now just become to kind of grate on me, which might say more about me as a person than the anime, but who knows.
Good thing for you, we've only got one more episode.
Yeah, but also good thing for me is that we have a different anime altogether. We'll talk about that one in just a moment. Kind of brings around intro a little bit. But first, let's talk about our socials. First, hey, check us out on Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, and miyuandweeboo.wordpress.com. I also have a science podcast where I talk about the latest and greatest in science, talking about Nobel Prize winning works, and science that's new, novel, and weird. And it's pretty great. It's called Science Snacks. It's found where podcasts are found. Hey, Metzger, let's talk about Buddy Daddies.
Oh, you mean the anime that broke my heart?
I actually thought that they genuinely had, like, a good discussion about, like, their whole situation and what it means to be happy and to, like, find happiness. And their resolution of it was astounding to me. Like, I thought that this was one of the best episodes of anime that we have watched on this show.
I would have to agree with you. This is, like, I mean, based off of some of the qualifiers I put on this show, which is to, like, not make you have to binge watch things. So it kind of, it limits some of the stuff that we do, since I want it to be new anime, and we're not doing, like, a best of all time sort of situation. So it kind of, We just kind of have to go with what's coming out.
Let's set up the scene a little bit. So we gave a bit of an intro.
Well, the scene is, I completely forgot in a week, especially because last week, everything was pretty much happy.
Yeah.
So we ended it on a mostly happy note, and we gave me a whole week to forget that tragedy. Tragedy was just up around the bend. And then as soon as I saw Miri's mom, I was like, oh, fuck. I was ready for guts and battle and brawl. I was not ready for the mom to come back and be like, give me my kid.
So obviously that was a surprise to us all, right? Like, none of us thought the mom, obviously there was some level of kind of suspicion, like they're being watched. Well, you can't really get around that. And like that has to resolve somehow. Like the and it's clear as day who's watching them, who knows, who's asking questions, because the dad was like, you know, requesting information. The guy was requesting information. That the big spooky man that collects death words and stuff like that was like taking pictures, requesting information about them and stuff. Our guy, who's the bartender boy, he's pretty open, and he's like, I'm not gonna lose my shit over this. Like,
well, yeah, because losing your shit over this literally means death.
Yeah, you could die.
It's not like you get fired. It's not like you get fired. It's not like you get a reprimand. You don't get a warning. You get murdered. What
bonus this year?
Yeah. Hey, you're gonna lose your bonus.
No, it's what I'm not. But
I mean, he's gonna lose his life. You will lose your life.
So. Obviously, that is around the corner, and it surprises us when suddenly at the daycare, the mom is standing there waiting, and she says, I want Mary back. And, you know, we have a flashback that does a very good job of, like, catching the standout moments for me of, like, the mom being, like, you know, crazy, kind of like smashing the bottles out and like telling him to get out, being kind of a chaotic, shitty person. The only thing that was missing from it was the moment that really stuck out to me, which was like, I hated her laughter. And every time she was happy, I was like, what is there to be happy about? And I hated her for it and stuff. Like, that kind of bullshit was there too. But they really captured the, like, I don't know, this flashback of like, why are you here? That we know how you feel. And then suddenly she's there and she's like, I want Mary back. And we get more exposition later. She has throat cancer and it is spreading and they do not know how long she has left to live. So she wants to spend that time with her family, which includes her parents and her daughter, and to genuinely try for her daughter. And Our boys make a very good comeback, because, like, in hearing her description, they say very clearly, ah, so it's still all about you.
Yeah. Something I loved, though, is I was kind of scrolling the comments after I had pulled my shit together.
Yep.
One person speculated that, what do you bet that it wasn't cancer that gave her that scar? What if one of the guys did it as a warning?
I don't think so. That seems like a little far-fetched for me. She was very highly emotional and committed. The only piece that stands out is like how she discovered like what their bad business was. Because when she didn't get her way after the emotional appeal, she then tries to make a logical appeal and be like, I know what you guys do. And we are told that the bartender guy told her.
Yeah. I mean, he just agrees to it. He's just like, yeah, that was me.
But I have a hard time seeing like her track down bartender boy and then be like, hey,
oh, no, like he says, I told her.
Oh, so he found her.
Yeah.
Okay, that was where I was getting lost, because I thought she was seeking her daughter out and then managed to find bartender boy. I do like the power play of when he goes, this is no smoking house. And she's like, oh, fuck. Like, she had never been told no like that before. Like,
yeah, no. she's not used to that.
And like, smoking around kids, my dad did that, always smoked around me, and I would try to, like, you know, hold my breath and keep it out of my lungs and stuff like that. But like, he would do it in the car and stuff, and I hated it. I always hated that I smelled like cigarette smoke. Like, smoking around children is a hot take for me, but I think it's a type of abuse.
I think it is too. Like, we know that it causes issues.
And especially in young, growing children with fast dividing cells, that can cause long-term issues that can last throughout their life in a way that may not necessarily be the case for someone that's older, because their lungs are so, like, young and new and full of stem cells that can then mutate and spread far faster and for far longer because of how many divisions their cells have ahead of them. And I fucking hate it, and it makes me so mad. So anyways... that's another reason I don't like the idea of her with Mary, but, I mean, what are the boys to do?
Yeah, because they, I mean, Q upright tells them, hey guys, your work's gotten sloppy, so figure it out, or they'll figure it out for you.
Yeah, there's really no good kind of middle ground here. Where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, I mean, the boys decide, hey, we had a good run, and let's go have one last fun day so we have no regrets. And they take her shopping, and they play games, and... they go on a big Ferris wheel, and there's very good discussion on a Ferris wheel that, like, you know, ultimately it's about her normal happiness, not theirs.
Yeah, because you can't sit there and say, oh, so this is still about you, and then deny her. I mean, you guys did kill her dad.
Yeah, and that's brought up several times, because I think that has been glossed over, and they talk about it very genuinely. Are you just hoping she'll never ask or never figure that out? Like, how do you think she'll react in the future? And then they're like, well, what if we told her? And I mean, it's a very real discussion of being like, well, I don't think she would understand. Like, and she's not kind of mentally, she's young and she won't understand. And even when she gets older, she'll, I mean, even like a full-grown adult would have a very difficult time with that discussion.
Like, you killed my dad and then you took me in? Like...
that's the premise of, like, a bad movie. Usually where they're made into, I don't know, some type of assassin boy or something like that. Like, it's not... it's, I think, one of the most genuine discussions that's ever been had about, like, a weird situation. And they handled it very well. And, you know, to make it softer on Miri, when finally they leave the Ferris wheel, they said, hey, we have one more surprise. And who's that waiting for other than her mom? And her mom is there, and they say, hey, you're going to have a sleepover tonight, just with you and your mom. And they have given kind of everything to her. She has all the shopping things that she wanted and stuff like that. And, you know, presumably all of her toys and other things, the things that she loves and cares about, have already been given to the mom. And they're just like, so for tonight, you're going to sleep over. And with the undertone of, and every night after, right? That this is it.
Pretty much. I bawled my eyes out.
I don't think there was any other way for them to handle it and for it. I mean, if they handled it in, like, I don't know, any other approach would make this kind of a different anime. Would make it kind of a larger than life.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm not saying they did a bad job. I'm not saying they made the wrong choice. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I bawled my eyes out.
The part that gets me is, like, it was the right decision and it sucked. And one of the things that gets me, and also Brendan Lee Mulligan, because I've obviously been binge watching everything that he does. Me and Brendan Lee Mulligan are the same person. And I have been binge watching his works. And he talked about, like, one of the things that makes him ball his eyes out every time is when someone puts a brave face on a bad situation. And if there is no better embodiment of that than these two boys hugging her for the last time, putting running over to put a scarf on her that they hope that she will hang on to, and being strong enough to let her go, it's that is they are putting a brave face on a bad situation. And they let her go. And we're just left with that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we have one more episode, I think.
What do you think's going to happen?
I have no idea. But I want to say one thing.
Yep.
Last Christmas, I killed your dad. The very next day, I took
you away.
We stole you
away.
This year, with a bunch of tears, I'll give you to someone special.
Special, special.
That was one of the comments on this video.
And with that, listener, I hope we've stolen your heart. I hope that we've given you something special. And then we hope that next year, and also this year, you'll come back again. And hang out with us once more. Our bus is pulling up to the stop again. Hey, check us out on anime_bus on Twitter, animetourbus on Instagram, and miyuandweeboo.wordpress.com. Also check out Science Snacks for the latest and greatest in science. And until next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.